Hello and welcome to another episode of Fun Bearable. I am Brad Rohr.
I am Ray, CEO of Structure of Goofery. No, director. Director of the Structure of Goofery. Okay. Engineer. Mm. I don't want to be the lead guy.
Yeah, no.
Engineer of the Structure of Goofery, Harrington.
I am Chuck, the president of the Structure of Goofery, Staten. And I'm just going to lay back and let that money roll in.
I'm surprised.
You're like, from what? Yes. Where are we getting it?
I'm the surprised goofs. He went with president and didn't go to God immediately.
The Godhead of
Structure of Goofery.
I like that he did it right after I was like, no, I don't want to be lead on the Goofery.
Yeah. You know what
I mean? Yeah. And you're like, Emperor Supreme of the whatever, I don't care. Basically,
whatever,
just call me the Emperor.
Whatever Kim Jong-un is, that's me.
Whatever gets Kim Jong-un to say, sir.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. We were talking about the podcast recently about how I'm having this little tiny crisis of being funny on the podcast because I feel like some people don't understand jokes.
Yeah, because of your haircut.
Like, what a dickhead. No, it's like I've always done that. I've always gone in this direction for comedy.
Yeah.
I think it's funny. A dumb guy, he thinks he's the boss, like all that stuff. And we did I don't know if you remember
for
this.
Comedy.
For my 30th birthday, we did a senior discount show. Remember this?
Yes.
We did a senior discount show with like a lot of bands on, like 10 bands on it. And it was in Providence. And the poster was like a propaganda poster, and it's me holding a huge flag and saluting it, and the flag is up my own face. Yeah. And I really think people saw that and were like, wow, this guy thinks that this is like, this is how he feels about himself.
Well, I think the more important thing is like, you already had that image before you needed to do the poster. You were like, oh, we need a poster? I've got just the thing.
He's like, which color flag do you think?
Yeah.
He's like, just going through his Roy G. Biv of Chuck flags.
It's just so funny because I have always thought the more wild and wacky you are with that stuff, the more clear it is.
Yeah.
But I really think there's a lot of people out there who are really, they're oblivious to that.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. We know how insecure you are.
It's just crazy.
Very.
Yeah, exactly. No,
that makes the other part of it worse.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that flyer in a long time. It was
That's
a funny
fun.
Flyer.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, I really like that.
We did, we put together a video and had people say nice things about Chuck.
Yeah.
And of course, everybody has to put a turn on it. And there was one woman who said, you know, was going through and like handsome, smart, almost intimidatingly so, blah, 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 all these things, and then got to the end, and she said, wait, this is for Chuck? I thought it was for Brad. And it is legitimately the nicest thing anyone's ever said about me.
That's your ringtone.
Yes.
I would salute a Brad flag in a second.
You know what? Those colors run.
I would kneel,
slowly.
Run away.
I would kneel, pray, and worship a Brad
flag. No,
no. Are you going to go to hell if I do that?
You would squat, drop trowel, defecate on a Brad flag.
I got two of them.
Yes.
I'm wary of any flag that you need to salute. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
You don't flag salute?
You don't pledge any allegiances?
Oh, no. I'm just saying, like, you know, in general, like, be a little wary about that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I think if we didn't grow up in it, I think if we... If we've just plopped down and we're like, oh, yeah, no, every morning when you're in school, like, you do the Pledge of Allegiance, and then you hear the words, not just the automatic muscle memory thing that we do, where it's like, I pledge allegiance to the flag, like, all that stuff. Boy, oh boy, someone's going to shoot me in the back of the skull.
I hope so.
For saying this stuff. Blue State Ray!
Yeah, this is, but it is weird.
Yes.
It is a weird thing.
Oh, I mean,
I pledge allegiance.
Yep.
And I'm like, why is a 7-year-old talking about allegiances?
You know,
that's a good bit.
Thank you.
I look at it this way, like, as a
TM,
minor.
TM, TM.
As a minor, you aren't allowed to sign a contract, so why are you allowed to pledge any allegiances?
Yeah.
Like, I was 7, I'm pledging allegiance to, like, Pizza Hut and
Twinkies.
Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. When I'm 7.
I'll say, I'm still pledging allegiance to Twinkies.
When I'm 7, I'm like, is that like the VFW? And they're like, no, that's the Legion Hall.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, okay, so what's allegiance? Oh, I think back in the day, you could get legions on you.
Yes.
If you know, like
I'm
a big wound.
One of those legions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a weird thing.
Yeah. I think one of my big flaws is that I accept things so easily. I just like, I always, for some reason, I've always thought I had this viewpoint that when you're really, really young, like let's say, you know, before the age of, let's call it 12. you kind of feel like you're finding out about the world.
Sure.
And so you're getting in all this information and you're like, oh, okay, this is normal. Okay.
Yeah. No, that's a kid. Like the world just is how it is. Yeah.
They're like, here's this baseball hat. Here's this, here's whatever. And then everyone kind of starts going like, wait a minute, I'm going to start questioning these things. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
And for me, like my switch of like switching that, someone went to switch it and it broke and they're like, ooh, and they just ran away. And so now I'm still like, you know, I could be pulled into Al-Qaeda in a second. In a fucking second.
In 1984, like the ministry would love you.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I think
like,
so.
Like Chuck Staton in 1984, the George Orwell book.
Yeah.
You would be like saying to us as 12-year-olds, you'd be like, come on, we're diming out our parents, losers. Right? Come on, we're marching. Let's go.
I don't know why. It's just this.
But why are 7-year-olds being like, yes, the United States is indivisible?
Yeah.
Like, do you know what that means? You know, every kindergartner's like,
I'm going to be honest.
Invisible for which it stands.
I'm going to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know if I've ever thought about one word in the Pledge of Allegiance. That's
what I mean. All these kids just get up.
You
and
just
go,
learn sounds.
I pledge. Yeah.
Well, you're just let me doing think. The thing. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Okay. I pledge allegiance is weird. That's a weird phrasing.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America.
If you took out the sing song of it, it's terrifying.
Oh yeah.
If you take that out and a kid just has to say it straight up, I pledge allegiance to the United States of America.
Oh, I think the sing song makes it even worse because it's rows of little kids going, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States. I think that's worse.
You could just show video footage of a bunch of classrooms and like, that's what we see of North Korea. And we're like, wow, they're fucked up. You know what I mean? Uh-oh, I'm scared at this point.
Wait, just think, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands.
Right.
What is the next line? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands.
One nation under God.
Skip it. Nope.
Added in the 50s because of the Red Scare.
The McCarthy era. Yeah, it's horseshit. And all these like fucking bumper sticker people are like, under God. I'm like, it was added in the 50s. Same with the money. Shut the fuck up.
Under God.
Indivisible.
For which it stands.
Indivisible.
With liberty
and justice for all.
With liberty, 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 liberty. Let's freshen this up.
I think with liberty and justice for all is not bad.
Right. If it were accurate.
When applied.
Yes. You know,
when it's not just a theory.
You know, the best use of And Justice for All was the Metallica album.
It's not just a theory. Yeah. That's the witch in Hansel and Gretel saying, all the little kids can come and eat my house.
the irony of like going with liberty and justice for all, but right before that, in the 50s, we're like, we're also going to add under God.
Yeah.
And you know which one we're talking about.
Yeah.
But also liberty for all, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is wild. Yeah. Wow, this podcast is taking a turn.
We did not have this in our structure of goofery.
No. I had a goof. You ready for this?
Yeah, I'd love it.
I was going to make a whole thing about it. It was going to be a whole episode that I was going to put you boys
through.
Hold on.
Say your death to Trump thing into the camera. Your death to Trump thing.
Yeah. Yeah. My whole death to Trump thing.
Oh, yeah. All right. Can you go and put on that?
Yeah. All right. Let me get my costume.
Blue state.
I got to get that casket.
Yeah.
So this goof.
This goof that you're going to put us through.
I was going to do a whole like episode thing about this. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. But here's a workshop, right?
Yeah.
I've got a few of these. Just three.
Okay.
These are characters that I was thinking about bringing to the table, but there's just nothing.
Okay.
They're so thin. Right. There's nowhere to go with these.
I didn't know if maybe Dr. Genius would have a new friend.
Any three of these could be a new friend, but I think they would just pop in and go, hi, and then leave because there's not much there.
I need some nurses.
For instance, here's this one, and it just goes, it's just... Hello, yes, God. Jeremy Fudrucker, no relation. That's the whole character.
I love it.
Yeah, just Jeremy Fudrucker, but he's constantly upset. He's like, it's not that Jeremy Fudrucker.
You know what would be funny? That's just like, you know, if you don't mind me throwing an idea.
Please go ahead.
The idea of a character and his name, even referred to by other people, is Jeremy Fuddrucker, no relation.
Oh yeah,
if
yeah.
That's that is whole, fun. If that's his yeah. name, that's really funny.
That feels like a happy endings.
Yeah.
Joke. Like there's a neighbor down the street.
What I was.
Oh, that's Jeremy Fuddrucker, no relation.
I'm thinking of like Comedy Bang Bang, yeah. where like if you. Like, let's say you were on it one time and you just did like that one line, I'm Jeremy Fuddrucker, no relation. And then you don't say anything for the rest of the episode. Then at the end of the year, they have a Christmas party. It's like, oh, all our friends are here. Yeah. This person, Jeremy Fuddrucker, no relation. You're here. Hello.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think
yeah.
is real fun. That's
I like
funny.
That.
Yeah.
The next one is the same idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
But a little more, you know, topical,
mm-hmm.
okay. I guess. It's a little mm-hmm. past.
I don't see how you can get. More topical than Fuddrucker.
Well, I'll tell you the, I'm going to give you the line that is often said, the catchphrase.
Okay, right? Good, yeah.
And then I'll tell you who the character is. You yep. ready? Mm-hmm. I don't even know the guy.
Hmm.
I don't even know the guy.
Okay.
That's the whole character.
Yeah.
Maybe like, I don't even know the guy.
Can yeah. I guess who it is?
Yeah.
Aaron Hernandez.
No.
From the Patriots.
Yeah. It's not topical, though.
He murdered someone.
Yeah, but a while ago.
Topical.
What are you, his defense lawyer?
That was forever ago.
Your Honor.
Come on.
It was forever ago. Are you going to hold everything against everybody? Jeez. Didn't you ever make a mistake? No, it's Joffrey Epstein.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, that's
Joffrey
good.
Epstein.
That's good.
He goes by Joff. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't even know the guy.
Yeah.
And then this is the last one. This is ridiculous. I was just reading an article that said no one has actually died from AIDS. Nancy, pull up that article, would you?
It's Ronald Reagan.
Oh, Sid.
No, it's Ronald Rogan.
You know, I was thinking
for,
about this
for the folks at home that aren't watching, they're just listening. I just looked at the camera with no hope in my eyes. Yep.
I was thinking recently, and I don't yeah. know, we haven't talked about this. I would love to do some episodes of Fun Bearable that are compilation episodes of maybe, like at first, you know, the very base version of it is the best of Ray, the best of Brad, the best of Chuck, whatever. And then there's just the best of Fun Bearable, like yeah. episode one through whatever.
I say we just do the best of Fun Bearable, not the best of the individuals.
Well,
it feels
I think
dangerous.
It feels like my episode's going to be 4.5 minutes
well,
long.
Well,
you're a sniper.
Well, now think about this, though. I was thinking about doing the best, like the life of Brad, and it's all the stuff we find out about him.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
that
be funny?
Fun. Yes, that is a fun compilation,
and
for
then
sure.
also, now I'm thinking...
Vito.
The most...
Don Vito?
The most
okay.
the most polarizing things we've ever said on the show of a best of. That would be so funny.
Yeah. Mine's short. Yours is short.
All
yours
stink.
Is very long.
Yes. Well, your Pledge of Allegiance rant.
Oh, rant?
Yeah.
It was more of what's the deal?
You told me before this.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
I can't remember his name. Oh, yeah.
The goof's not going to work?
Yeah,
take it back.
You told me before action. This... You said Lewis Black is going on his final tour.
Yeah.
Someone needs to fill this space.
Right.
So I was thinking. Yeah.
I've been working on my angry pointing.
Yeah. Did you see the name of his last tour?
Yes.
Pretty funny. I think it's pretty good. It's cute. It's Yellow Brick Road.
Yellow Brick Road.
Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah.
Man, I really liked Lewis Black in like 2004 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've seen that many like specials or anything from him since then.
Yeah,
no, weird?
He's been doing stuff. Well, I think you're referring to like that Comedy Central era.
Yeah,
the like those specials.
I know
that
Mitch
were
Hedberg,
on, you
Stephen
know,
Lynch,
repeated a
Dan
lot.
Cook. Yeah. Swanson. Yeah.
That's true.
I actually went on and Comedy Central is now posting on YouTube like the full half hours from back then.
Yeah,
and I'm grabbing them all because like I loved Nick Swartzen's original one,
mm-hmm.
which he looks way skinnier. He looks like a different guy.
Yeah,
and then
his latest special. It was very short, but mm-hmm. it came out. It was so. Confusing,
yeah.
But the special was—I mean, cool.
Filmed at altitude,
yeah.
And then I really loved Kevin James' half hour. His first
sure,
half hour at Comedy
yeah.
Central is—have you ever yeah. seen it?
I possibly.
Where
probably.
He goes, and at the end, it's the close is him picking the card and how people pick cards at CVS and stuff.
Yeah,
that fucking special is so funny. It's—I mean, I don't want to say anything negative, but like, I've seen him a bunch of times since then.
Yeah,
and I think that his material is good. But he just did the same material for like years and years and years.
Yeah.
So it's like I saw him at least twice, like more than 4 years apart, and it was exactly the same.
Yeah.
But man, he has the ability to be a fucking killer stand-up.
Sure, yeah,
it's crazy. It's really, really
funny.
There's
a reason he got that sitcom.
Yeah.
We saw him at a venue.
I think King of Queens is really good.
We saw him at a venue in Boston, and it was like the first hot day of spring.
Oh,
and there was no air conditioning in the theater. No. It was nightmare. One of the most uncomfortable, like, 90 minutes ever.
Do you remember the name of
that venue? Anyone has suffered in any country on any planet,
especially based in heat. Do you remember what venue it was?
No, I don't.
It was legitimately
the hot box? Yes, was it the hot box?
It was legitimately like a 1500 cap venue with no air conditioning. It's just like how they function because they were old. Maybe they've put it in by now. Yeah. Who knows? And it was so fucking hot. Like, I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
No exaggeration. I was holding a program and my sweat was dripping onto it. Remember that?
Oh, terrible.
And a lot, like his first like 5 or 10 was really playing with how cold it was in the room and what he could do to warm it up. And he was killer.
Yeah.
That's so fucking funny, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of those Comedy Central half hours that I think because at the time it was just like, if you caught it on TV, you caught it on TV. They weren't ever put out in CD. They weren't put out in DVD. Yeah.
But they also aired all the time.
They did.
Which was exciting.
Like Dane Cook's aired constantly.
Oh, there were so many. Because it was Comedy Central was just like, this is the programming we have.
You know? I know.
There was a bunch of stuff like that. Like Kids in the Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
I'm so glad that they had the British
Who's Line?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
For me, the big thing that was really great that they aired all the time at that point in time was the Upright Citizens Brigade TV show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was, I think they started airing that in 1997.
Yeah.
So I was pretty, I was 13, but man, that introduced me to not only Amy Poehler, but like all those people that were involved. Yeah. And like, there were some other people involved in the show, like Horatio Sands. I think Andy Richter was on some, but those people, and they've all, Matt Besser and all those people have been like, they've popped up in so many comedies over the year.
Yeah.
Coming over the years with like cameo moments.
Yeah.
But they are so fucking strong. The performances. And like, It's Upright Citizens Brigade might be my favorite overall sketch show, but it's a little bit tough to compare because they had that framework of that group that was like investigating humanity.
Yeah.
And that's such a fun way where at the end of the episodes, they got to pull it together, which a lot of other sketch shows, they don't have the structure to end in that fashion.
Right.
So it just feels like a different beast a little bit.
I think certain sketch shows just have things that are uniquely their own
exactly.
that go beyond just, and here's another sketch.
Exactly.
Right?
I
think, Upright Citizens Brigade had that fun structure. Mr. Show had a really fun structure of bringing Bob and David out in front of a live audience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they would occasionally do live sketches that were edited in post.
Yeah.
But they would do it live on a set.
Yeah.
And then they had a ton of pre-tape that they would show to the live audience.
Right.
But like that created a thing. And then Mr. Show was always great at tying sketches together where one leads to the next.
Pan to a TV.
Yeah. Like I remember a conversation I think Bob Odenkirk was having a while back talking about that period of time. And they were working on, they had finished one and they were working on how to transition to the next sketch. And it was like the full day that they were sitting there racking their brains.
Yep.
And it was a point where they were like, we're just working on trying to get from one to the other, not actually working on another sketch.
Yeah.
And I think they just went with like, what if he walks out and then walks into the next room?
Yeah.
And they went with something like that. Kids in the Hall had its own vibe too. My favorite.
Yeah.
That had a nice like a punk DIY mentality to it.
Yeah.
They did include a lot of the live stage stuff.
Yeah.
They did a lot of sketches live in the room. They did monologue-y things. But that was the one where it's like, we have Phantom Planet, the band, playing like live at the place before the show. They play the instrumental stuff. They do the thing. And I think there was a fun vibe there too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I loved it.
And there
that
was
stuff.
This other one. It's on Saturdays.
like daytime?
No. It's at night.
Oh, and it was
they do it live.
No,
it's not pre-tape. They do some pre-tape.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny. What is that called?
We'll never know.
I wonder.
They have somebody host it every week.
Like, I think Upright Citizens Brigade
different
is like
people.
A well-known and respected name in comedy and stuff.
Yeah.
But do you think people are really well aware of the TV show specifically?
No, not anymore.
Not anymore.
There's not really a place for
it. That's like saying Strangers with Candy.
Exactly. Yeah.
that wasn't a sketch show, but
yeah, it was all those
performers.
It was
fantastic. Yeah. And Amy Sedaris is one of like comedy's best.
Yep.
You know, I love her.
And Colbert was on it. There's a ton of people.
Yeah, yeah, tons of people.
So where does that live now? Does that live on Paramount Plus, do you think?
Probably.
I don't know.
Because it's a Viacom property.
Yeah, streamed everything. What are you doing with those Post-its, my guy?
I'm just playing.
It's starting to become a little bit of a distraction.
No, I'm sorry.
And I was like building something with it.
But yeah, no, I truly love Upright Citizens Brigade.
Yeah.
And the other day we were riffing on the podcast and we talked about how you were colorblind and we were talking about how you couldn't tell the Christmas tree. You thought
yes,
it was Halloween.
Yes.
And it reminded me of the Upright Citizens Brigade.
Oh, yeah.
The colorblind
Big
thing.
Anuses.
Yeah.
Where it's like, she's colorblind, so she doesn't know. And they're trying to propose this robot that goes on the wall and tells you this is a pig anus, not an apple.
Yeah.
And the person puts on the glasses that replicate being colorblind, and he can't choose between the apples and the pig anuses.
Yeah.
He grabs a pig anus, he goes, sweet, sweet apple. And he takes a bite. And that episode is one of my favorite endings. They had gone through all these sketches based around these characters, including this robot on the wall. And they said, like, we did this to find for the greatest human, what's it called? It's the greatest, like, what's the thing that people say about the rehearsal? It's a great, not comedy, but it's a...
I don't know. There's so many words. Like,
there's a really...
Experiment.
It's like a...
Social experiment.
Commentary?
Yeah, social experiment.
Okay.
It's the greatest social experiment of all time. And then it cuts to the real world opening, but it's all the characters from the sketches
of the whole show. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, fucking, that was so good. And that's the kind of thing that... It just kind of elevates all the stuff for me.
Sure, yeah.
It makes it feel more important. But man, did I fucking love that show.
Yeah.
So UCB in New York just opened like a week ago.
Yeah, yes. That's fun.
What's the deal with that?
A new one. I don't know much.
I don't know anything about it. I wrote to them and I was like, listen, I'm sure you're going to be filming stuff. Like I directed this, these people, blah, blah, blah. Dan Soder, Louis C.K., whoever. And I was like Gramercy and stuff. And I was like, I'd love to get involved. If you don't need anybody, no big deal. But... man, I'd love to get involved with that, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's so cool. It's too bad.
You didn't hear, though. That UCB that's opening, that's not Upright Citizens Brigade Theater.
Mm. See, I didn't look at the acronym because I was like, I already know it. So I scrolled past the acronym.
No, it's the Ugly Child Buyers Club.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're not...
Trafficking.
Now I'm thinking about the email.
And you and you volunteered to film things.
Let me see. Hold on.
For the traffickers.
All right, let me read this. Oh, no.
You didn't see Sound of Freedom, did you?
Oh, hold on. This is what I wrote.
Because it's all in Sound of Freedom. Now let me hear what you wrote. Yeah.
This is really unfortunate.
Oh, God.
Dear UCB,
mm.
I don't have to say the words because we all know what we're talking about when we say UCB.
Yeah.
I am big into UCB.
Oh.
I've always been into UCB. Uh-oh. And I'm always going to be into UCB regardless of the people trying to stop me.
Wow.
I shouldn't have said that.
No.
And I think that not enough people film UCB. Who knows why? But I want to be the guy who starts doing it every day. Day in, day out.
Oh.
That's all.
Man, and I just don't think In and Out should be in there.
Yeah.
For the record, Funbearable is against human trafficking.
No, we'll cut that out of the most polarizing moments in Funbearable history.
And we'll spell it polar like Amy Polar.
Yes.
That'll be perfect.
Terrible.
That'll be perfect.
It's a crossover
clip. Just terrible.
And you said at the end, P.S., my tripods are very short.
And then a winking face.
Yeah.
Oh.
And a baby bottle.
No.
Weird.
Why did I put that?
Yeah.
Damn.
You know, something else is happening at this point in time.
Yes.
Not right in this moment when we're here. No. This isn't going to come out in March.
Hmm. April Madness.
Yep. That's when it is.
Mayflowers.
April Madness brings May sadness.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Oh, that would explain.
April Madness.
So, I am here physically right now.
Yes.
But in concept, conceptually.
Force Ghost-wise.
Yes. I am actually, at this moment, in Ireland.
Huh?
And then a little while later, London, England.
Is it true that Ireland is because like they have so much ire?
No.
Is it because it was a different language at one point?
Yes.
Okay.
And it was not spelled I-R-E. It was like E-Y-R-I-E.
Yeah.
and I don't want to say it out loud because then you're going to get all Jamaican on me, like Irie. anyway, I'm going to London for a week, and then I'm before that I'll be in Ireland.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a show there, and then I am having like a family vacation, which is exciting because Kalina and I have not done like a real family vacation since before Finn was born, and
wow.
Finn is now 10 years old.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah. So like this will be Finn's first like flight that he's ever been on.
Call me now. Remember that.
Huh?
You said the Jamaican thing. It's in my head.
Oh my god! The delay is insane.
I don't know why that happened. Well, I was listening to you, and
no, you weren't.
No, I was because I was like, didn't they go? And I thought of a place that you went, but you went by yourself on a cruise, and then I thought of Call Me Now.
Just turkey in the straw. Right?
It was a work trip. I don't know why. I was thinking about a lot of things.
Yeah, that's it's totally fine. I could hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know a card in the spokes of a bike tire? Yeah. But I'm going to go do that. I'm super excited. But what I didn't tell you, I thought I had told you about this.
You told me some things about your trip, but I do not believe you told me this aspect.
So we are going to be flying into Shannon, Ireland, right? Mm-hmm. The airport there, not the Dublin airport, which is usually where people fly in. But right. We're going to stay more in like Cork area.
It's named after Michael Shannon, the actor.
Yes. Retrospectively.
Yes.
Retroactively. Yeah, not retrospectively.
It was a prediction.
That's looking back. Yeah. Is spective. Mm-hmm. Spec.
Yep.
Retroactively. Action. You're doing it.
Huh.
Doing words. Oh, God. What are you going to say in about 5 minutes from this?
Well, I was trying to think of a Michael Shannon impression this whole time. Yeah. And I went like that. I don't know if
and you're like Shannon Doherty.
Did you hear me? I went like this. I went.
Well, it's better than your Statham.
Yeah. Oh, is it, mate?
Yes. So I'm really excited to go. I've always wanted to go to Ireland.
Yes.
Genuinely. You know, that's where my blood roots are.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm going to pick them up. I'm going to pick up my blood roots. But no, I am going to. It's kind of exciting. Like, I tracked down.
It is cool.
Like, family lineage.
Oh.
To a Cornelius Harrington. Who's my great 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 grandfather? In a town,
are you gonna meet up with him?
Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna go fuck that town up. We're gonna go paint it green.
Chuck's great 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 grandfather is named Pornelius.
Porn alias.
You know, Peter Griffin on Family Guy did go to Ireland and meet his great grandfather, and he was all red haired and he was just like him. Maybe.
Maybe that cartoon that really happened in real life will happen to me.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited. Actually, the town is Castletown Bear is the name of the town because it's in Bear Haven.
Oh, okay.
It's a peninsula area.
Yeah, Chicago Bears. I get it.
And the town is like half O'Sullivan's and half Harrington's. So I was telling Finn,
half
like, Harrington's. We're going to go and like.
Finn's
gonna,
half Harrington.
He's all Harrington.
Well, he's
down
half.
There.
you guys are going to tip the balance.
But oh, yeah.
The years long detente between the O'Sullivans.
Bring out the O'Sullivans. I want to see him and I want to fucking punch him right in the eye. I'm going to suck him right in the eye.
There's 103 Harringtons here now. Yeah. So
here's what we're going to do. We're going to get drunk. We're going to fight. Then we're going to get Mara drunk. Then we're going to cry and hug each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Real question.
Yeah.
Do you feel any sort of connection to St. Patrick's Day? Or no, not really?
None.
It's not really a thing?
No.
Because I know that like Italians and St. Joseph's Day is kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was.
Nah.
Do you eat any Irish food or anything? Like
sure.
The corned beef and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, St. Patrick's Day is like a very American thing. They recognize it in Ireland, but it's different. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Of course. But no, I'm super excited. But this is what I wanted to tell you guys about.
Yeah.
This is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So originally we were going to fly into Shannon and we were going to stay in a hotel around Shannon for 2 or 3 days when we get there. Then we have an Airbnb closer to Cork. Because I really want to go to Cork. Cork is like the... Everybody goes to Dublin.
Yeah.
Or Belfast, which is Northern Ireland. Fucking Northerners.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
You're going to pledge allegiance?
There's literally history of this.
To the Troubles?
I would pledge allegiance to the Troubles, I think. You know, historically, it's too much.
Yeah, it's a lot.
As one historian famously said about Ireland, The problem with Ireland, it has too much history.
Yeah, there's a lot going on up there.
Is that true? What does that mean?
Yeah, well, because of the Troubles.
What is the Troubles?
The Troubles are because the British at one point basically owned Ireland.
Yeah.
And a bunch of Irish people were like, we don't like that anymore. We don't think this is good. And they became the Irish Irish Republic Army and a Republican Army and pushed back on that. And created a decades-long situation called the Troubles, where bombings, shootings, things like that.
Their tanks and their bombs and their bombs and their guns. Tanks,
yeah. And so now Northern Ireland is...
That what that's about?
Yeah.
Zombie?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
So now Northern Ireland is separate from the rest of Ireland. Like Belfast in Northern Ireland is technically the UK. So British pounds you're going to spend there, all that stuff, and then the rest you're going to use euro because they're part of the European Union.
Wow.
Because it's the Republic of Ireland.
Wow, that's interesting. It's funny, like I went out to dinner with my parents and my brother and his wife and his family, and my brother's wife was like
also named Shannon.
I know. Mm. I almost made a joke.
I'm gonna land
like,
on.
I don't know. But I was like, she was like, yeah. She's like, because my brother's name is Denny. She's like, yeah. She's like, do you know what he said last week? And I'm like, what? And I guess him and his little girls, my nieces, were talking about Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah. He's like, Jamaica's all the way over in Africa. And she was like,
oh no,
what did you just say? And he had no idea. And I'm like, I think I'm terrible with geography, and I think he is too.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that happened, but I think we both are pretty...
Well, to be fair, the Troubles are history, not geography.
Right. Well, in terms of like, I was a little confused about where the UK ends and begins.
Yeah.
And
so
this kind of would help
so
me.
So is the UK.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
So is Britain, yeah.
I think if I understood that, it would, like the United Kingdom, obviously, is all these different places together. I think that this is kind of ties into that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, but I'm really excited to go. And so when we fly into Shannon, we just got like a regular hotel.
Right.
We were going to do that.
Holiday Inn Express.
I can't remember what it was called.
Sorry, Chuck loves them.
Yeah, I love a Holiday Inn Express. Hell yeah. That's,
Brad,
that's
me and,
my
me
line.
Me and Brad have had fights about this.
That's my line, a Holiday Inn Express.
He thinks they're bad. I think they're great.
Why don't you like them?
I didn't say they were bad. Chuck just made it seem like it was the most amazing hotel on earth.
Oh, so this is one of those situations where the absence of enthusiasm for the thing...
Means you hate the thing.
Means you hate the thing.
Yeah.
Got it. We were just talking about that.
But why push back? Why do you have to push back?
I didn't.
I was like, I had a great breakfast. I had a good pillow. And he's like, nope.
Chuck made it seem like it was this luxury 7-star hotel. Chuck added 2 extra stars.
Yeah.
And it was a Holiday Inn Express. And it was, it was good as far as Holiday Inn Expresses go.
But what was
the
problem, though? Like, was this your honeymoon and you were disappointed?
Honestly, I don't think I was there. I think Chuck was just coming back. He's like, let me tell you about how awesome this place was.
Oh, okay.
You could put waffle batter in a waffle iron. Yeah.
Hold on. If I remember correctly, though, this might have been from the time that there was like a ton of us in one room for Warped Tour.
I don't remember.
In Connecticut.
Possibly.
With Abe.
Maybe.
Lincoln.
Yeah, I had to share a bed with Abe Lincoln.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Handsy fellow.
Oh, no. Yeah. And they're so big.
Yep.
Oh, you know what I think I was... I don't know why you were pushing back on it. It's just interesting to someone say like, oh, man, this is so great. It's interesting to express like, no, it wasn't. You know, that's just an interesting thing.
Yeah, that is fair. Yeah. So I'm going to Ireland.
Yes.
And Jesus. This is like telling like an aunt and uncle about the fun trip, but you know that they're getting a divorce.
So I'm the uncle.
Yeah, right.
You're both the aunt. You take turns.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we're going there. So we were going to stay at a regular hotel, and I started thinking about it, and I'm like, you know, sometimes I'll send an email to a thing, and I might get a thing.
Yeah.
And that's nice. So I sent some emails out to some like more special hotels, like, ooh, fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a response back from like the fancy hotel.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's called Dromoland Castle Hotel.
Yeah.
Dromoland.
Okay.
Dromoland.
Dromoland.
Yeah. This castle is very old. It was legitimately like a a royalty based thing that was, you know, handed down family to family. It became very much like an estate kind of place that's been handed down. If anybody's watched The Gentleman, the Netflix Guy Ritchie series, think of that kind of situation where you just have a family inheriting this. And when the father dies, you know, one of the kids becomes the duke of this area, right?
Okay. Mm.
Later on, the hotel was sold to another person. And in the 60s, they turned it into the hotel that it is, right? Before that, it was just
legit
an estate.
Castle.
This is like a legit Irish castle.
Yeah.
Yeah. On a 500-acre estate, they offer like horse carriage rides through the estate to see everything.
Damn.
You can do clay pigeon shooting.
Wow.
You know, all these things.
Clay pigeons are a menace. Always eating my crops.
Yeah, they're stinkers.
Yes.
Clay stinkers.
Clay stinkers.
That's what I call them.
Oh, that's a new character I'm working on. Yes. Clay stinkers.
Has that stinker episode come out yet?
No.
Oh, boy.
Well, it might by the time this comes
before,
out.
Oh, it'll come out before this.
Yeah, before this it'll come out. I'm just wondering in real life because I want to see people react to it.
No, stinkers hasn't come out yet.
Okay.
I don't believe.
I think we should just call it stinkers.
Sure. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Attack of the Stinkers. anyway, clay pigeons.
So I'm going to Ireland, and but yeah, it's really like they do falconry. It's insane.
Nice.
So this hotel is beautiful.
Yeah.
And you know, I accepted the offer, the deal. Everything was good. I was thrilled. I told Kalina about it. I was showing Finn this castle. It's insane, right?
Yeah, it's awesome.
We're watching some like walkthrough stuff, and I'm looking at on their website. They have a list of like. You know, famous people that have stayed here. They lead with Bill Clinton and George W. Bush. Mm-hmm. I'm like, maybe don't lead with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, they are famous.
They're famous. That's
they are
problem.
Famous. Yeah.
I think that they're just so well known, maybe. Yeah.
So I'm going to be in this room. But I'm wondering if I could get another room.
Yeah.
You know, for something else. And George W. is just like, I keep getting lost. Did they long hallways.
Did they stay together?
Yes. Yeah,
it was a bro trip.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. No, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. Right.
This is where. Oh my God! I just drew a blank on
this.
His
is
name.
Just like what I did with the thing. The social experiment.
Cheney, Dick Cheney. This is where Dick Cheney shot that guy with the shotgun.
Yeah.
Because he was clay pigeon shooting.
Yeah.
No, but
I thought it was a clay pigeon.
Yeah.
Is that Dick Cheney?
No. I can't do a Dick Cheney. I thought it was a clay pigeon.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know, something like that.
Yeah,
it's a real stinker.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We should invade those stinkers. What? We need to topple the stinker government.
Stinker. It's such a funny way
we
to cover
will
up.
We not
like,
negotiate
you know,
with stinkers.
Sometimes you say a thing, you realize you're wrong, but it's too late. It's out in the ether.
Some people say a thing, never realize it's wrong.
Oh, I realize it.
My eyes are going to roll out of my head. But yeah, so I'm staying at this this castle. I look at the list. It's like Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Nelson Mandela, Muhammad Ali.
Wow.
It's like insane.
And they stayed together?
They stayed together.
Yeah. Another bro trip.
There was a domestic disturbance. The Irish Garda had
Who
to
would
come.
Win?
The police.
Nelson Mandela.
Muhammad Ali. One of history's greatest boxers would win against political prisoner Nelson Mandela.
Not a stinker.
Another callback.
Not a stinker.
Wait, not
and
a stinker?
And you believe
not
he belonged there. In fact, you would knock on his suite door in the hotel and you'd go, excuse me, Mr. Mandela?
Yeah.
You belong in jail, you stinker.
I'd say it with an accent, though.
Muhammad, watch his door.
Yeah. Okay. He's a conscientious objector. He wouldn't do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then it also listed John Lennon and George Harrison.
There you go.
The Beatles.
That's who you should lead with.
Yeah. I was so pumped about that. So I'm on like YouTube or whatever or Googling. I'm looking at images. I'm showing Finn. I'm getting him pumped about this because my mom put it best when I was talking to her recently. Like, this is the age to do this with Finn.
For sure.
Yeah.
This is the age where what I was thinking was he's going to land in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
This is his first impression.
Right.
Agreed.
This fucking castle.
Core memory.
Yeah. And I had a moment like within myself where I'm like, I'm 41. I'm finally going to Ireland. I've wanted to go since I was a kid, right?
Yeah.
And it's amazing that I'm at a point.
Sorry.
I don't know why that. This was a genuine moment. And you're fucking laughing.
No, I'm thinking about the idea of how to pair this, but I completely agree. Because you're going to go, instead of going to the Holiday Inn Express,
yeah,
you're going to be going to
the Dromoland Castle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, it's amazing. But
I was having a moment where I realized, like, this is that thing of, you know, you want better for your kid.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course.
That's why I got defensive, because this was what I was trying to say.
My joke in my head was the music that you should play when he's landing in Ireland.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? It was that direction.
What does Lucky Charms have a theme song?
They're magically delicious.
They are magically delicious.
Yeah.
I never was able to do that, right?
Yeah,
I didn't go to Disney World. I didn't do any of that stuff. Like, I grew up a broke kid. And to be able to give that to my son is really special. Like, to know that he's going to grow up going, yeah, when I was 10, I went to Ireland. We stayed in this castle.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. It's great. And show him London, my favorite city.
Right.
It's really special.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's funny, too, because it's so hard to measure how this is going to be like a memory for him for the rest of his life.
Right.
How do you measure that in terms of like deciding to do what we're going to do?
It's super fun.
Plus the scars he's going to get when he fights the O'Sullivans.
That's true. Yeah. Those scars will make him stronger.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. He's going to kill his first O'Sullivan. Yes. It's very exciting.
But
it's
not
a Harrington tradition.
But not his last.
You know the Hatfields and the McCoys?
Yeah.
Not his last.
Very similar. Yeah. The Harringtons and the O'Sullivans.
Yeah. And in fact, the Harringtons and the O'Sullivans are what the Hatfields and McCoys are based on.
Yeah. Yeah. That was some people that came over. They were like, this is getting too heated. We got to go to the West. And then they're like, oh, it's happening all over again. So
maybe the problem.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe the troubles were inside us all along. I'm really excited about it. And then I was looking at photos. And then up pops like a 30-second black and white silent video of John Lennon and George Harrison on the lawn of the Dromoland Castle, like playing with two swords together. It's insane.
Yeah.
And then there's photos of them like playing croquet and a butler bringing them champagne. And I'm like, this is where we're staying.
Man, Finn loves champagne.
He does.
Yeah. And he loves sword fighting.
He does.
Yeah. Hates croquet.
But he
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah. He tries to play croquet with the sword.
Yes.
But no, it's really exciting. And I said to him, like, we should find, I was like, Finn, we have a mission. We are going to find the exact spot where they took this little video, and we're going
to
recreate it.
Yeah.
You know? And
that's,
I'm like injecting him with these memories. And I said, oh, those swords, when we watched the video of like the walkthrough of the place, there's two knights armors, you know, doing this. I'm like, I guarantee you it's those swords.
Yeah.
I guarantee you. George Harrison and John Lennon took those swords.
Yeah.
And somebody who worked there was just like, no, not the swords. But somebody else is like, shut up. It's the Beatles and it's 1962. Are you out of your fucking mind?
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, when we go, if the swords are still in the knight's armor, like, we have to touch the hilts of those swords.
Yeah.
Because those swords have been touched by John Lennon and George Harrison.
For sure.
And he's like, but we're probably not allowed to touch it. And I was like, I'll be your lookout. So I'm like, I'm injecting these fun things.
Finn and I are basically the same.
Yeah. But it is wild that we're staying at this castle.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. I'm like really thrilled about this.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. I've never stayed in a castle in my life.
Did you see the rooms, what they look like?
They look very nice. They're you know, kind of embodying that, upper
decor,
like
the vibe,
classic kind of thing.
Yeah,
I wonder if they have like one room that they kept exactly the same for when the castle was built.
Yeah, like the torture chamber,
the room with like the old like wood, and there's blood stains and chains and crows and skeletons.
Oh yeah,
skeleton crows.
Yep,
crow skeletons.
Yeah,
well, quick. Crow skeletons and skeleton crows, in my mind, are two different things.
Yeah, skeleton crows are like, they'd be on a pirate ship.
The same like that billboard I see in Warwick that drives me crazy, that is a lawyer billboard.
Uh-huh.
And he's holding a little dog,
okay.
The lawyer.
Yeah.
In the photo, it's him, and he's smiling, and he's holding a little dog on the billboard. And sometimes it's there and sometimes it goes away, but then it'll come back and it's another, like an updated photo, but he's still holding the fucking dog. And every time I see it, I always am like, it's the dog lawyer. Like, which one of you is the lawyer? That's always what I want to know. Which one of you is the lawyer? And I was talking about this with Finn one day, and I'm like, there's a big difference between the dog lawyer and the lawyer dog.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Very
yeah,
different.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
He looks like a lawyer, a dog lawyer.
Yes.
Like, he's a lawyer for dogs.
Right.
I represent you. You know what I mean? The other version is, it's the dog that's the lawyer. He's the lawyer dog.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
And like the little dog is thinking like, yeah, this guy's a pedophile, but this is my job.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to get him off.
I got to defend him.
Yeah.
Everybody deserves a fair trial.
And I'm nervous because I'm 6.
Yeah.
The dog.
You know, I don't know if this is a sketch. What if the lawyer's name was Bill Board?
I like that.
You're right.
I like that. But I always see that and I'm always like, which one of you is the lawyer?
No, I love
to
that.
Me, that's the funniest thing in the world, yeah. And it's not for everybody. That's one for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I am.
I have a lot for me.
when I go to the castle, of course, every bookshelf, I will be like pulling every book,
every sconce
I'm tilting it.
You know, it'd be really funny if there was like a library and they had like a main guy that's like the thing, and you like looked at him and you pulled the book and it didn't do anything. You went, yeah. And then you kept doing it. And he's like, colder.
I go up to a sconce, yeah. I turn it counterclockwise, and he looks at me. It makes the worst scratching sound. You know? And then I turn it the other way. It's flickering.
We're going to bill you for that, sir.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, you'll bill me. Okay. And like, I'm just not believing anything. I'm convinced there's a secret room.
Oh, right? There's got to be a secret room, right? Because you had to, the royalty would have to scoot out in case of things going awry.
Right. Yeah, you don't want another Tsar Nicholas situation where they all get rounded up and shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know in that story, the worst part of it, they had sewn jewels and jewelry into the inner lining of their clothes. Mm-hmm. The women had sewn all this into their dresses because they were on the run.
Yeah.
The Tsar's family. That's where we get Anastasia.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Oh, Anastasia got away. She didn't.
She didn't. No.
No, no, no. And so when they...
My ancestors made sure of that.
Oh, absolutely you would have.
Yep. Well, you got to get rid of the stinkers.
Yep.
They weren't stinkers. they were not, they're not great, but they're
my ancestors just liked killing people.
Yeah, they're stinkish. Yeah. So when they were shot in the basement of this place, a lot of them, like, it did not initially penetrate them.
Yeah, because
it was the jewels.
Yeah.
I don't know how apocryphal that is, but
it's like
I
Back to the Future 3.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fun.
Yep.
I like that.
Interesting tidbit about Back to the Future. You know how like they really do a good job of making things continue in each movie?
Yeah.
I was talking to someone about it and I was like, yeah, and you know, in Back to the Future 2, there's a little bit of a hint to the bulletproof vest because when Marty comes in and Biff is in the hot tub, he's watching that part of the Clint Eastwood movie on TV. And they're like, yeah, and there's also a bulletproof vest in Back to the Future 1. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's weird. It's almost like you separate it for some reason.
Yes.
But isn't that weird? It's and all three have a bulletproof vest that kind of surprises, you know what I mean? It's cool. It's really cool.
You know what I always wondered with Back to the Future now that this is brought up?
Yeah.
Whatever did happen to those Libyans? Because they shoot Doc Brown, assuming he's dead.
Yeah.
And they drive off.
And they crash into the photo mat.
In the initial...
In timeline A.
In timeline B, well, no, because they still do it because they still chase him. So they crash.
Right.
But are they dead?
Yeah. Well, here's what I thought.
I don't think that crash is fatal.
Definitely not. No. I thought about this when I was a little kid because I remember, maybe not the first time, but one of the first times I saw it, like Marty goes over to Doc. Doc sits up and he's like, you're alive. And he's like, he read the letter.
Yeah.
I'm like, aren't the Libyans like 100 feet away?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of strange.
I like to think they saw the error of their ways.
Yeah, probably.
Up working.
Yeah,
like they stayed in Hill Valley. Like it's nice here.
It's a.
There's a mall. There's a JCPenney.
Near death experience. They're reevaluating the choices they've made. What led them to this point? You know.
I will say, in the defense of the filmmakers, the Libyans just killed a man, and then saw a car disappear into thin air. Yeah. So maybe they're like,
they got a lot to think about.
We've had a day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let's go back to the hotel.
Yeah. Where are we staying?
I'm gonna make myself a waffle.
Yeah.
And then another Libyan is like, you know, that hotel's not that great.
I like that. I like that a lot. But yeah, I'm really excited. Oh, speaking of driving, I am genuinely a little stressed out.
Oh, yeah. Other side.
So we're renting a car while we're in Ireland, and then we'll turn it in and we'll go to London. No car in London, obviously. But I am genuinely nervous about this because it is wheel on the other side of the car,
yep.
Car on the other side of the road.
Yep.
And
so doesn't that cancel each other out and it's the same?
No. Everything is different. I was thinking about it last night and I'm like, oh yeah, just checking your rear view mirror is going to be extremely unnatural.
Yep.
Check your rear view. Huh, right there. Huh. This is going to be over to the right is wild.
It might not be as bad as you think because you have the rear view mirror down. Maybe.
Oh, I know, but as an example of like all of your instincts are off.
I guess my concern would be more with a stick shift because
are you doing the stick shift?
No.
Mine would be too.
Yeah. Most rental cars are manuals in Ireland because they have predominantly manual transmissions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I grew up with no men.
Yeah.
I can't do.
I drove manual.
You get me on the highway, I'll be fine.
A summer 25 years ago and not since. And I'm like, I remember, but it was a work truck. So it like, if I was a little rough with the clutch, no big deal.
That's a euphemism you have, right? For masturbating.
No.
A little rough with the clutch.
No. That's supremely gentle. Supremely gentle with the clutch.
Me and Brad were driving the other day and this guy pulled up on a motorcycle and he's trying to get me to ride it. And I was so nervous.
Hold on.
We were walking the other day.
Back up. You were driving the other day?
We were walking the other day.
Okay, so you said driving. You meant walking.
Yes. We're on Water Street.
So already I'm unreliable narrative, 100%.
I forgot.
You were walking.
We were walking. Yeah. We're on Water Street.
Yeah. And the guy pulled up. It was weird, too. You're like, this car sucks.
A guy pulled up to us on a motorcycle. He's trying to get me to ride his motorcycle.
What do you mean?
Was
this the director of the UCB?
Yeah.
A pal of Chuck's.
Yeah.
An acquaintance of mine.
Okay.
I didn't know who it was at the time.
Yeah. It's true because he has a helmet on. Big helmet. We can't see who it is. And then, we get closer and he's like, yeah, jump on, Chuck. And Chuck's like, yeah.
Because motorcycles are kind of manual, right? Do you have to shift or anything?
Yes.
Or do you have to kick something?
Yes.
Yeah. You have the clutch on the
I don't know about it.
On the handle. And then shift. It is weird. Like, I drove manual a few times, like a friend's car.
Yeah.
And I can do it, but it's not great. It's not elegant, that's for sure. And then there's no way in hell, I was saying this to Kalina when we were renting the car, I'm like, there's no way in hell I'm going to
add three things.
Add a novel thing of like, a manual, and now it's on the other side, and I'm on the other side. Like, that's way too much. I think if we get there and there's a manual, I'm just going to be like, we can't.
I know, me too. Yeah,
me too.
We can't. Can we have three horses instead?
Yeah. I would genuinely ride the horse.
Yeah.
Save the cowboy. Yep. But it is wild. So I'm looking forward to it, though. It is going to be fun.
Oh, it's going
to
be awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait to do it. And it'll be nice to be back in London. I love London.
Yes.
Show Finn all the cool stuff I really like there. Mm-hmm. We're going to go by the Taskmaster house.
Yeah,
I'm very excited.
Baby.
Killer.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, the idea of staying in a castle is so much fucking fun.
Oh, it's amazing.
You got to lean out a window and someone has to take a picture.
Okay.
That's great. Oh, let down your hair.
Yeah, I'll let somebody climb up it. Oh. Wait, which hair?
More of a tower than a castle in that instance.
I have what's referred to as a real, I'm trying to think of a fun way to play this.
Gentleman's bush?
No. I'm more of a, I can't.
No, go on. What do you got? Go ahead.
There's two. I'm more of an oldie locks. So it's, I let down my pubes.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Does that moldy locks? Is that better? No.
Bold.
Boldy.
Cold.
Coldy locks.
Fold.
It was Rapunzel.
Locks.
It was Rapunzel.
It wasn't Goldilocks.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't Goldilocks.
See? You're just like me. You think of a couple things. You don't know. You get mixed up.
all these white women look the same to me. I can only tell them apart by who they're with. Yeah. Are there seven little men? I know who that is. All right, that's Princess Peach.
Yep.
You hear about all the seven dwarf issues?
What?
Do you know about this?
What a transition. What a pivot. About it, right?
No.
Do I know about the little dwarf issues?
The seven dwarf issues.
The seven little dwarf issues.
Yeah, you haven't heard about this?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, Disney's making like a new Snow White movie.
Yeah.
And there's like all this conjecture from two sides.
Yeah.
That are like, you can't have this. And the other side is like, you can't not have this.
Yeah, they cast regular sized people in those parts.
Because they think that they can't make them specifically little people.
Yeah.
But then little people are like, that's fucked up. Yeah. You have to make them little people. Hmm. Where do you fall, Brad?
You know what?
Craig, zoom in on his face when he answers this question.
Clip this for our polarizing episode.
put a news banner at the bottom with a crawl.
Brad Roar speaks out about dwarf issue.
Big words about little people from Brad Roar.
Snow Gray, Brad Roar.
Brad Roar makes a mountain out of a molehill.
Sorry, I just got something in my throat.
This is going to be a clip. All right.
All right, all the news cameras are off. What do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You're off the record.
What did Dinklage say? He's my go-to for the dwarf, for the little
people. Is it weird to be like, well, let me check with a little person about it?
No,
like
if
I text Brad Williams,
yeah,
who's a stand-up comic, little person,
mm-hmm.
He's a good dude. I like Brad. If I text him, like, is this okay? Is that weird? I think that's kind of weird.
I do think it's kind of weird, but I think there's a lot of things in the world that I've noticed where it's like, this choice is absolutely right and absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
And it's weird because it's like, as a person of like, let's say you're a Caucasian male, and if you ask someone from a different community about that community,
yeah,
obviously you shouldn't be speaking about it or mm-hmm. making a decision, but also you shouldn't be making anyone else the spokesperson
correct.
For their
yeah.
community.
Yeah.
However, how do you play both of those sides?
I know.
I don't. It's almost like you have to have a Twitter poll. That's the only way to do it. Of only people oh, no. who are part of the thing.
Oh no!
I don't know.
All the blue checks get to decide.
Well, we talk about this all the time. You ever see someone argue about whataboutism?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, whataboutism, aka equality. Like, whataboutism is just equality. And people complain about it.
Well, no, I don't agree with that. I think whataboutism is moving the goalposts in an argument. If you're having an argument about a thing and you go, but what about this? It's like, yeah, that's another issue. Oh, we can talk about this, but we're focused on this thing.
Oh, I've seen like, so I saw it used this way exactly yesterday where someone's like, Brad, you can't do this. Let's say you're the head of some sort of company or something like that.
Sure.
And he says, well, this
UCB.
And he's like this, but he's like, well, this other person did this that was in my exact same role and no one criticized that. It's like, oh, that's whataboutism. But it's like, no, that's treating you the same way as you've been treating another thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's used in a different way sometimes too.
Yeah. I don't know if the way you're describing is the usually identified whataboutism.
I think it is. What do you think?
I don't know.
In terms of what about?
I would have to hear to hear the actual details.
Honestly think it is like it's. I thought it was usually used when you're trying to compare yourself to someone else that's been in the exact same position or something that's exactly the same, and someone's like, "That's whataboutism."
Usually, it's like to keep it in political sphere. When somebody was like, "Hey, Trump did this bad thing," you would hear the other another person go, "Well, what about when Barack Obama did this?"
Yeah.
It would have to be identical, though.
It's not identical.
Yeah, that's right. The thing.
And that's like, okay, that's a separate issue.
Yeah, that would have to be different.
That I can have thoughts on.
Yeah.
This is this issue. Oh. Let's focus on this.
Yeah, I only think it applies as equality if the thing is identical.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like when they tried to shut down the UCB originally.
Yeah.
In New York.
Yeah.
And they said, you can't do this. This is illegal.
Yeah.
And then the head of the UCB, I think they've been removed.
Yeah.
Said, well, what about that daycare, like three blocks down? that they broke these laws. And it's like, well, yeah, no, they got shut down, but now we're talking about you.
Oh, well, if they got shut down, then you should get shut down.
Right. That's what equality. I'm saying.
Yeah.
What if?
How did we just take that seriously? I'm talking about the ugly children buyers.
I think the thing that I remember was something about the elevator knockout at NFL. Remember that guy?
Ray Rice.
And something about that being compared to the Deflategate stuff.
Because of the punishment.
The punishment was it was like for knocking out this woman in this violent, insane way. I think it was initially
2 games.
2 games and deflating the football was like more than
4
that.
Games. Yeah.
And
then they changed his to 6 games.
Yeah, there was a whole debate about that. I think
all of that is odd. It's odd to even try and compare those two things to begin with.
Well, I think
one is like cheating in the game, and the other is like a player doing a horrible thing outside of the game.
Yeah, but I think that they were saying like that guy that did the horrible thing was getting less of a punishment than the deflate thing.
Right.
And it's like,
but my thing is also, I know what you mean.
You mean it's not part of the world.
What if?
By the way, I'm not saying that means Ray Rice shouldn't be punished. I think Ray Rice should be out.
That's what I think.
Yeah, my whole issue is like often in the NFL, people do horrible things, and it's like, hey, well, now you can't play for a couple of days. Okay. That woman has CTE. You can't play for a couple of days. You sit on that bench and you think about what you did.
Exactly.
And what you're going to do probably in a couple months.
What if?
Probably because of this.
Yeah.
The 7 are non-little person size, but Snow White, little person.
Ooh.
Or.
No, I think I've seen that thumbnail before.
It's like the gender swap, but
what's
not
your name?
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've seen that before too.
I mean, Chuck,
her name was Abella Danger.
Chuck has seen more than the thumbnail of that one.
Oh, okay.
No.
I want to point something out. Nobody got upset about Hugh Grant being the Oompa-Loompa in Wonka.
Maybe they did. I was going to say, how about this instead? 7 dwarves played by normal sized people, Snow White, giant.
Ooh.
or not, you know, not a giant.
Sure.
But like She-Hulk.
Sure. How about this? That movie is likely bereft of any genuine creative soul.
Yes.
Let's just not do it.
Let's do a different movie.
How about that?
Well, what did Dinklage say?
I don't know.
Are you excited for Dinklage as the Toxic Crusader? That's pretty kooky.
Oh, now I understand that little rubber bracelet you always have that says WWDD.
Yeah.
Or WWDS. What would Dinklage say?
Well, his WWDD one is for his Jawa impression.
Oh, yeah. You know, I hate
speaking of little people.
Jawas.
They play Jawas.
That's true. I looked up the Jawa sound.
Yeah.
I don't think it's too bad.
No, I think you did a great job with it. I think that's your best impression. I'm not kidding.
Way better than Statham.
Yeah. How about... You know what? Do Statham as a Jawa.
Yeah.
Day.
That's your number 2 best impression.
Wow.
Day.
What an episode.
I wonder, you're watching it, there's a million Jawas. You're like, man, Jason Statham plays one of these. Yeah, which one is it? You get shocked.
Day.
Oh, I think I found him.
That's great.
I think Christopher Walken is a Jawa in this scene, too. I wonder where he is.
Day.
This is terrible. We're fucking up this podcast so bad right now. Who else was playing a Jawa in that scene that we saw? We saw that rough cut. Who was playing a
Jawa? You know what? Yeah. Mr. Bean was a Jawa. What do you think about that?
Day.
One more.
Day.
Ernest
P. Worrell.
Oh, man.
Ernest P. Jawa.
Day.
It's kind of, I don't think there's enough to work with.
I think
there.
You throw a verb at the end of it.
One Jawa. Above the rest.
One Jawa.
Standing up for his people.
He's the one that got shocked.
Yeah.
He's the one.
Yeah.
None of you will do it. All right. I'll step up. One Jawa will touch the robot trash can.
Everyone's like,
fair
cut,
enough.
Cut.
Hello, little robot.
You know what? We saw you a few times. You're fired. yeah.
Yeah, that's fun.
No, that's funny.
It's very good.
Ernest P. Worrell as Obi-Wan Kenobi would be really fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that'd be amazing. You know, a lot of roles would be.
You know what?
Yeah.
I was going to bring
Ernest Forced Stupid.
Jesus. That reminds me of that movie we were just talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I was just trying to think of a Star Wars way to say that. How do you, what do you do?
Well, I was going to bring this up. So Brad and I had an idea a few years ago that I'd really love to do. I think it was, I think it's an amazing idea. 100% Brad. And then we discussed it. It was your idea in the first place.
Is this the cotton candy bouncy house?
You know how ugly children don't get bought?
Oh, I see.
No. The idea is this. So when they were making the original Jurassic Park movies.
Yes, it was Brad's idea.
They made Jurassic Park 1, which is obviously like, you know, one of the greatest movies of all time.
Little tidbit about that.
Mm-hmm.
They only called it Jurassic Park. They didn't say Jurassic Park 1.
Yeah. No,
they called it The Great Park.
Yeah, The Great Park. That's the park to end all parks.
That's a history joke.
Yeah.
So Jurassic Park 2 was based on a Michael Crichton novel.
Yep.
I thought it was okay. Not as good as Jurassic Park 1. And then Jurassic Park 3 was just manufactured by the company to make another Jurassic Park movie. And that, because that movie didn't do that well, they didn't move forward on Jurassic Park 4. Took a long time. They made Jurassic World and started over.
Jurassic Park is what it would be called if it came out today. Jurassic Park.
So here's what's interesting that I don't know how many people know about this. Ray probably knows about this. They did write a script for Jurassic Park 4 where the government was trying to get dinosaur DNA to splice with soldiers. And the movie is about that, and they have dinosaur soldier men.
And Jean-Claude Van Damme stops it somehow?
And I and so this screenplay is
dinosaural
out there.
Dinosaur soldier?
After this movie was like, there's concept art and the screenplay out there. So Brad had the idea a while ago. We kind of talked about this. Like, obviously, we know all these different people. Like, I work with all the Kevin Smith crew and, you know, the Comic Book Men guys. I work with a lot of comics in New York. I know a ton of them. I work with a ton of them. We said it would be so easy to...
I'm also a comedian.
Well, I mean, in terms of, like, people that are, like, people that are, like, very, very famous. You know what I mean? As opposed to us, who are just, like, we're having fun.
Sure.
People that get a lot of numbers on their podcast downloads. We were like, it'd be so easy to divide the script into how many lines each character has and be like, let's say it was, at the time it was me and Brad. Let's say it's, I don't even know how many main characters there are, but the three of us would take the top three characters who have the most lines.
Dibs on Dino Soldier.
And then.
That's really struggling with his identity.
Yeah. And then we would get people that we know that are, you know, names and stuff like that. To do all the one line, two line, three line, four line parts, and we would release a huge podcast episode that's Jurassic Park 4 with a movie poster with us as them and all the people.
That's crazy.
What do you think about that idea?
I mean, I'm open for it. Yeah,
it's,
absolutely.
It's kind of easy to do. I mean, it's not like insanely easy, but I'm just saying, like, if I'm in New York and I'm recording with a couple people, like the other day we just did the live Gramercy, so I was with Mark Norman, Joe List, Bobby Kelly, and Jim Norton.
Yeah.
And if I talk to those people and I'm like, hey, do you think you could say two lines into this microphone? This is what they are.
Yeah.
And then we just file them and we have them. And then we just do that until we have the whole script. And then we release like a big Jurassic Park 4 of us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's pretty cool. And it's pretty novel. I haven't seen a lot of like podcasts do anything like that.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be super fun and super fun.
Yeah, the closest I know of is The Blacklist. But that's it.
What is that?
The Blacklist is every year there's certain scripts that pass around Hollywood that are like, these are fantastic scripts.
Right.
And for whatever reason, they don't get made. Yet, right? Yeah. Or they are bought, but they don't get produced.
Mm-hmm.
Often that's the case. Mm-hmm. So The Blacklist was a list that was started years back that kind of collected those and went, these are great fucking scripts.
Right.
And then they started a podcast and then sometimes they'll do live shows where they get people together to read those scripts and go through it and show it. And so that way it can exist in some form.
Right. Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's similar to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's I think it'd be really fun for us to do.
Yeah.
And I just picture the poster and then little circles of all the people that are in it, like all over the poster. And it would be so much fun. And I think people would be like pretty psyched about it.
Yeah.
So I'd love to move forward on that. The only thing is I'd really like to theme it around like a Jurassic Park thing. But I think they recently did announce a release date for a new Jurassic Park movie, like within the next 2 years.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be fun to work on.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'd have to look. Oh, yeah. So here's the reason I brought it up. So I was like, I haven't really sat down and read. I haven't read the script fully. I know the general synopsis, but I'm like, would it be too dry to just do the regular script? Mm-hmm. Would it just not be funny? And it would it just be like, oh, this is just like a script that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, do we, how do we make sure that it's funny? Like if we need those people to just read their lines and that's cool that they're part of it, how do we, as the top main three characters with the most lines, affect it in some way to be funny while sticking to the actual script? Mm. And is the answer something like Ernest or something like that being part of it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think with this, you just got to do it direct.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm worried about the idea of just like,
because then it becomes, it's Jurassic Park, it's hat on a hat kind of territory.
I agree.
Where it's like, it's Jurassic Park 4, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
And anybody that might be interested in that, and it's like, but we're going to do it with Ernest as one of the guys.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, what are we doing? You know what I mean?
I just don't want it to come off as too dry.
So I made a list. I made a spreadsheet of how there are,
oh no,
counting the narrator, 47 parts, most of which, you know, one to ten lines.
Yeah.
There's one with 213 lines. There's one with 144 lines. And I think the next highest is like 30 lines.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah. I mean, one of us could also be all the dinosaurs.
Right.
Which is kind of fun.
I mean, you know, some of these characters are like squad leader, machine gunner, woman, head narco, driver.
Of course. Of course.
It's, well, why can't the woman be a head narco?
You know what? It's not specified. Not. Yeah.
Although the lines for the head narco are like, I'm getting a funny feeling in my bones.
You know what I mean? It's like, that'd be really funny if it's all like lines like
I'm
that.
I'm getting a funny feeling in my bones.
My dick is hard for the first time in 50 years.
Oh my God. A clever girl.
But I'd love to have a discussion about it off mic.
Absolutely.
About figuring out how to make it really
we'll figure that out.
But I think it'd be awesome.
I think we should just be wary too and accept over the course of time recording it and getting it all together with all these different people that we're going to reach out to.
Yeah.
We might have to pull people off of it because they've said or done something by the time it comes out where we're like, we can't have that person.
Yeah, so maybe
on this
Chuck
thing.
Could you know be the last person to record, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
No, by the time we release it, half the voices are like, garbled ones.
Starring Gina Carano. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, oh no.
Well, we shouldn't have made her head narco.
Yeah.
I mean, there's another project coming up. I don't know if you remember the next Dr. Frankenstein return, what his plan was. Do you remember?
No.
No.
I blocked all of that out. My therapist suggested it.
Yeah. He's going to avenge the canceled.
What?
We talked about this. Well, it's Dr. McFrankenstein. The guy's fucking crazy.
I love the idea of like, hey, you know this grading thing? It's also going to be in poor taste.
He's not grating. He's just,
hey, look at this disgusting sandwich that's undercooked. You know what I mean? It's like, oh no.
It's also poison.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's not undercooked. They come with like tubs of nacho cheese and shit like that.
I love it. I love it. We got some plans. I'm excited. As this is airing, I will be in my native land.
Yeah, everyone turn toward Ireland and wave to Ray right now, no matter what you're doing.
Yep.
Take a hand off the wheel.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And O'Sullivan's fucking
watch
prepare.
Your backs. Yeah,
get
watch
ready
your fucking
for it.
Backs.
Okay.
No, I'm going to bring peace to Castletown Bear. I am going to come I'm going to say, look, I know
Trojan horse.
I know a Sullivan, and we get along just fine.
Right,
Trojan Harrington.
Sean Sullivan. He's a stand-up comic. I love Sean Sullivan. He's great. We get along great, and it's like, look, I know a Sullivan, and they'll be like, but you don't know an O'Sullivan, do you?
You know what? You know what? I like to think that Finn is going to look across the courtyard. You know, his face is painted up. He's got a spear and a shield, and then it's a girl across the way.
Oh no. Fiona.
Yeah. I'm thinking Fiona O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more like Ray goes to do a gig while he's in Ireland.
Yeah.
And everyone's
Which
like, you know, and then everyone's excited. The comedy show's going great. You know, he's the headliner. They're psyched for the host, psyched for the feature. And then like, ladies and gentlemen, Ray Harrington.
And boom.
And a hush fills the room. Yeah. And you just hear guns cocking.
Yeah. You hear knives getting flicked out. You know,
sharpened on one of those wheels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a banner behind you that's like the O'Sullivan Family Reunion.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I thought it was just going to be like the O'Sullivan Comedy Club. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or something like that. I'm like, oh.
How did I get booked here?
Hamsters are weird. And they're like, give them a chance.
Yeah. Hamsters are weird.
Hamsters are weird.
This is relatable.
All right. I like the angle this guy's coming from. I like this guy's perspective. Let's sit down and hear him out for a minute.
He's just a soft boy.
Hey, he's just a soft boy. He doesn't mean harm. He's just a big fucking idiot. Look at him up there.
God,
he's
like huge. Him.
It would take four O'Sullivans to take down that one Harrington, and you know it. He's a castle himself.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Folks, thank you all so much for watching and or listening. We appreciate it. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or otherwise, send us an email, funbearablepod@gmail.com, or find the email link through funbearablepod.com.
Oh, and if you've ever driven on the other side of the road with the wheel on the other side of the car, write in. Let us know.
Is it weird?
I'm going to be gone already.
Tell us your experience.
Your story. Yeah. Maybe this is the last episode I ever do. Because I get in a horrible accident out there, and that happens.
Maybe he gets very dedicated. I'm just going to drive on the side I'm always driving on.
Yeah, and then I come home, and I'm doing that. You know what scares me? I don't even want to bring that up. That's sad.
All right, you're riding a horse. I got it.
No, I was going to say I don't want to do a Matthew Broderick.
Oh, that is sad.
Because that was in Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he getting a blowjob?
No.
Why would you bring that up?
The blowjob?
Yeah.
He brought up a dead kid. That's way worse.
Dead kid?
I thought he died.
No, it was a really bad blowjob.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and he was like, I'll never be the same.
Yeah. I've been there.
You've done them.
Thank you all so much for sticking around with us. That's all I've got for Ray Harrington and Chuck Staton.
Faith and Bagara.
I'm Brad Rohr saying thank you so much, and we're sorry for being funbearable.
I feel bad about bringing that up at the very end.
I like these episodes where everything is just fucking all over the place. I think that's fun.
These episodes?
Yeah.
You mean the podcast? Yes.
You mean every episode?
It was fun and good. And I think there was real content in there.
Yeah.
You know?
That was fun.
If I do get scooped up, here's what I'm worried about. Mm. This episode's going to come out while I am away from America.
Yes.
The episode where I criticize the oath.
What if they don't let you back in?
If I don't, and I'm like, oh, the Pledge of Allegiance is dumb. And then I'm going to try and go through customs, and they're like, oh, Ray Harrington? Oh, really? Really? Okay. You know what I do every day when I come in here? I put my hand over my heart, and I pledge allegiance to this fine country. And they don't let me in.
You're like, I have some eggs that I'd like to declare. Yeah, some Irish eggs.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be like Ray Harrington, and you're going to be like, yeah. And he's going to look at the TV, and you're going to look up, and it's Fox News, and it's the clip of the podcast of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've put like a CGI Hitler mustache or something.
Oh, no.
You'll be fine.
I'm in a lot of trouble.
It's okay.
I stand by it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
maybe we should clip it and send it to Fox News. And
it's
one of those, like,
yeah,
like, get a load of these guys, but then that gets eyes on the podcast.
Yeah.
No bad publicity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, bad press.
I mean, you know,
press.
Like, look at the people criticizing you. You know,
that's
like,
right.
Oh, all right. So villains are criticizing us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that's honestly.
I don't know. I don't know if I could live my life if Megyn Kelly didn't like me.
It's a movie idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Let's talk about it after we stop this episode, because we're still in the.
Oh yeah, we're still goofing it.
Are we?
We're still goofing.
You know how we do, like,
say something
a soft open. We're doing a soft close. On
yeah,
this. It's
yeah.
a very soft experience.
yeah.
Let's end it now.
Okay.
Like right. And then we'll cut it right there. Before I say now.
I forgot to end it.